This book is one of falsehoods and forgery and imputations that have no resemblance to what the Master or any of his apostles taught, and you can readily realize how anxious we all are that these errors and untruths be removed from the minds and souls of men. But I must not permit myself to. The Paget Messages 1916, become too enthusiastic in considering these things tonight, or I might not stop as I should under the circumstances. I will come, though, very soon and write you on this subject, as it is a vital one to mankind, and I will explain the truths connected with it as fully as is possible for men to understand. I should like to write more tonight, but I must not. So with my love, I will say, good night. Your brother in Christ, Paul. November 20, 1916. I am here, mother of Leslie. I would like to say a word to my son, if you will permit, for I so much enjoy telling him of my presence and love. Of course he knows that I am with him quite often, yet my presence realized in that way, I mean by the impressions that I give him, is not as satisfactory as conveying my thoughts to him by a written message. I wish to tell him that I am progressing and very happy and know only the joy that my living in the Father's kingdom gives to me. If I could only make him understand for just a little moment what this happiness means to me, and what it may mean to him, he would strive with all his power of will and longing of his soul to get the love in more and more abundance. Yet I feel that even without this one glimpse of what I speak of, he is quite happy at times and is trying to progress in this love. I do not feel that I should write longer tonight, as you have written considerable already, and I thank you for your kindness. I will stop now and say, but the little sweetheart says, tell him that she is here too and loves him, and wants him to love her and to believe that she is his affinity notwithstanding what the woman said to him tonight. She has her affinity too, and it is not that unspiritual husband that she is living with. So tell my boy to love me, and think of me as I do of him. Good night. Your sister in Christ, Priscilla Stone. 1616. I had attended a circle where there was a well-known medium, and the medium asked me if I associated much with the girls. I replied very little. And a lady sitting on my left said, perhaps I had not found my affinity. I did not give any satisfactory answer, but my soulmate was present with me at the time, and gave me the signal of her presence, which she often does, and is doing so while I am writing this postscript, and I can feel her love and influence very strong, and my mother is giving me the signal of her presence also, and there 459. I am here, Descartes. Let me say a word. I will not attempt to intrude for a great while and only want to say that you are not so very good as you may be led by these spirits to believe. I am not a wicked spirit, but am an impartial observer of things, including the states of the souls of men, and when I say what I have said, you must not think that I have any prejudice or desire to cause you to feel that you are any great sinner, but I have heard what some of these spirits have written you, and I see that they are flattering you and try to make you believe that you are a little god on earth, and as your friend I do not think it right that you should be so deceived. Of course you should become as good as possible and get all this love that they tell you about, if there is any such thing. And it may have the effect upon your soul that they will tell you it will, but at the same time I have my doubts about the matter and would advise you to give more attention to gaining knowledge that is open before you in your earth life, and when you come over, you will find that in our spirit world there is no more desirable thing as knowledge and intellectual development. Why, I should have great regrets if I had neglected to cultivate my mind and acquire knowledge when on earth, for it has kept me from listening to these sentimental spirits who try to talk to me at times about the development of the soul with love, a word that means nothing to anyone except those who are like the silly maidens of earth or the lovesick swains who have never cut their eye teeth. No, my friend, do not listen to this silly and useless talk about soul development and love, but learn from me and believe that the intellect is the only thing that a man as well as spirit should attempt to cultivate and acquire. Knowledge is power, and I realize that the knowledge that I possess has given me great power in this spirit life. I associate only with spirits like myself, and we have wonderful times of enjoyment in the exchange of our thoughts and bright ideas and in discussing subjects which only spirits like myself can discuss. You may rest assured that only the intellectual spirits attend our meetings and find enjoyment in our discussions. These love-speaking spirits who go about and tell us that love is love and influence always give me so much happiness. Leslie R. Stone. The Paget Messages 1916. Everything and that mind is only secondary. Do not attend our discussions, for of course they could not understand what our talk is about nor comprehend the wonderful thoughts of a fully developed mind such as we possess. So you will see that I am really interested in you and desire that you pursue that course in earth life that will fit you for the highest development and the gradual enjoyment that can be experienced in our spirit world. I have as associates many of the prominent philosophers and scientists who once were known on earth as the leaders of thought and the revealers of the great laws of nature, and they all think as I am writing you now. I trust that you will believe me to be your friend and that I write this in the utmost good faith and with the desire only to direct your efforts in that way that will lead to your greatest good when you come to the spirit life. I do not think it necessary to write more tonight. Here question was asked, well, we are all in what they call the earth sphere and are in some little darkness and also in some light, and we understand the reason for living in the darkness. We have not yet made that development in our intellectual qualities that fit us for the planes of great light, because as you know, the greatest knowledge that we could acquire on earth is not equal to the least knowledge that is required to fit us for the planes where only light exists. And for this reason we have the appearance of darkness, but as we obtain a greater mental development, the darkness of appearance leaves us and we then progress to the light spheres. This, as you will understand, is only natural and the result of a law that we recognize as working exactly and unchangeably as the other laws of nature work. Well, I have been in spirit life a great many years and have been working as hard and with more enthusiasm than I did on earth to acquire knowledge and understand the laws of nature, and I am satisfied with my progress, although I shall not cease to progress as I know, for I will never give up my efforts to acquire more and more knowledge. I must stop now, for there comes a spirit to me who is a very bright one and says I must stop, and I cannot refuse to do so. But as I leave I will say that I thank you for your kindness and hope that you will believe that I am sincere in advising you as to what I think is for your own good. So my friend, good night, your brother in search for the truth. I was known as the French philosopher and scientist, Descartes. I am here, Saint Paul. I come to write you on the subject that I commented on last night, namely, hell and the duration of punishment, and if you feel that you are in condition to receive the message I will begin and finish the same. Well, as I said last night, the hell of the orthodox preachers as formerly taught, that is a hell of brimstone and fires, is not the true hell and has no existence save in the minds of these orthodox believers. The true hell is a place and a condition, and one is not separated from the other, and while the condition of the soul and the beliefs of men create the hells to a very large extent, yet hell is a fixed abiding place, made and established and of such a character as to suit the inhabiting of it by the soul according to the condition of that soul. To illustrate, a soul that is less vile and filled with evil thoughts and the recollection of evil deeds and false beliefs, is in a very different place from the soul that has more of this evil in it. The former soul would not find its habitation in the same place as the latter soul would, any more than would the highly developed soul find its home in the same place as would the soul that is less developed. Heaven is a place or many places suited to the development of the soul, so hell is a place suited to the souls of degradation and evil condition. I mean to be understood as saying that place and condition of soul are correlative terms, the home of the soul depending on the condition of the soul. As these different hells vary, so they are suited for the souls of spirits according to the defilement of soul. I see that you are not just in condition to write or to receive my thoughts, and I will not write more. But I will come soon and write fully on these matters. So with the hope that soon you will be able to take my message, I will say good night. Paul. November 21, 1916. I am here, Saint Paul. I desire tonight to finish my message on hell, what it is and what its purpose is. As I said before, hell is a place as well as a condition, and the man who believes that it is nothing more than a condition of his mind or soul will be wonderfully surprised as well as disappointed. I know the condition of mind and soul to a very large extent creates a man's hell and is the chief source of his suffering and the darkness that surrounds and envelops him, Yet this condition is not the only source of that suffering or of darkness in which he finds himself. 460, The Paget Messages 1916, Hell is a place, and a place that has all the appearances and ingredients that are in exact agreement with his state as produced or caused by the condition of his mind or soul, and is not a place of universal character and fitted for the habitation of souls, irrespective of conditions of degrees of defilement and sin and darkness. It is not a single place forming a common home for all fallen souls, but is composed of many and different places, and as has been said, there are many hells having gradations of appearances and surroundings that are suitable for causing additional sufferings which souls may have to endure. The expression, the lowest depths of hell, is not a meaningless one, but portrays a truth, a real existent fact that many spirits are now experiencing the reality of. In its broadest sense, hell is every place outside of heaven, and heaven is that place where everything entering into it, its appearance and qualities and its inhabitants, is in perfect harmony with the respective laws of God and His will concerning the same. And this statement involves the fact that there are several heavens, because the heaven of the redeemed, or those who have received the divine essence in their souls and become of the divine nature of the Father, is a distinct heaven from that wherein live those who have been restored in their natural love to the perfect condition that the first parent possessed before the fall, the condition of the restitution to mankind of that perfection which was lost by the disobedience of the first man and woman. Mortals usually believe that heaven is a condition, and the Bible, in which so many believe, attempts to describe this heaven with its streets of gold, and pearly gates, etc., and as a fact it is a real, substantial place, having all the elements and appearances of a home of bliss, which help to bring to its inhabitants happiness and joy in addition to the happiness which their soul perfection and development cause them to have. Then, as heaven is a place, having real substance, perceptible to the spirits that inhabit it, why should not hell be a place of real substance also, with those qualities and appearances, exactly suited to add to the unhappiness of those who are fitted for it? The spirit world, both heaven and hell, are places of substance, having their planes and divisions and limitations of occupancy, and not mythical, invisible conceptions of mind as you mortals ordinarily conceive ghosts to be. The spirits of mortals are real and more substantial than are the physical bodies of mortals, and these planes and divisions, whether of heaven or hell, have a 461 more real existence than have the mortals in their places of habitation or confinement in the earth life. The hells are places of darkness and sufferings, but in them are no fires or brimstone, etc., as have been so commonly represented by the preachers and teachers of the Orthodox churches, because there is nothing therein that would feed fires or that fires could affect, and there are no devils or Satan, though there are evil spirits of men that are more wicked and vicious and horrifying than have ever been pictured of the devil and his angels. In your communications you have had some very realistic descriptions of hell from those who are actually living therein and are realizing its tortures and realities, and I will not take the time here to attempt to describe it in detail, and will only say that as it has not entered into the minds of men to conceive the wonders and beauties of heaven, neither have they ever conceived of the horrors and sufferings of hell. But from all this men must not understand that the punishment and darkness which the spirits of evil endure in the hells are specifically inflicted by the Father because of any wrath that he may have towards these spirits, or to gratify any feelings of revenge, or even to satisfy any outraged justice, for it is not true. Man, when he becomes a spirit, is his own judge and executioner, submitting to and receiving the inexorable results of the law, that whatsoever a man sows that shall he also reap. This is a law that is necessary to preserve or bring about the harmony of God's universe, which, of course, is absolutely necessary, and while it may appear to man, at first sight, to be a harsh and cruel law, yet in its workings and results, even to the individual spirit who may suffer in the reaping, it is a most benign and beneficial law, for the darkness and sufferings of a few years, as you mortals say, bring about an eternity of light and happiness. The law must rule, and in all the apparent harshness and suffering and want of mercy, The great divine love of the Father overshadows the sufferer and finally makes the defiled and wicked soul become one of purity and goodness. Men may never have thought of the fact that if it were possible for these evil spirits to live in heaven, their sufferings and unhappiness would be greater than what they endure by living in a place that is more in agreement in its surroundings and appearances, with their own distorted conditions of soul. So even in their hells, the Father is merciful and good. The Paget Messages 1916, and regarding the second proposition of the preacher in his sermon, namely, the duration of suffering or of the life of the spirit in hell, his conclusion was, that this duration of the spirit is eternal, everlasting and without end. How it must have hurt and violated the teachings of his soul and his conception of the loving Father, to come to such a conclusion. But, yet, being bound by his creeds and the domination of his belief that the Bible is the sole authority upon hell, as well as heaven, in the conviction of his mind, and here I want to emphasize mind, for his heart was not in agreement, he declared that the duration of the sufferings and life of the hells is eternal, and the saying of Jesus proved it to be, not only because it was in the Bible, but because the true meaning of the original Greek word, can have no other translation, not knowing, or if knowing, not recalling, that Jesus, even if he used such expression, did not speak in Greek, and that back of the Greek word, in order to obtain the true meaning of the word used by Jesus, he, the preacher, must go to the word as it was uttered by Jesus and its true meaning. So many preachers and commentators on the Bible attempt to determine a most vital truth by a shade of meaning that they conceive a particular word in its original, may have, when they are not justified in concluding that such word had at the time used such shade of meaning, or that the original as they conceive it to be, was the original word actually spoken or written. They seem to lose sight of the fact that the writings of the Bible, I mean the manuscripts to which they make reference to prove the correctness of their conclusions, are far removed from the original writings, and that by reason of the copying and recopying of the word upon which they rely, and the shade of meaning that they give it in their interpretations may not have been the word originally used. Of course, they have no way of learning this fact and, consequently, they have to resort to the best authority that they can have access to. But under such circumstances, it is not a justifiable thing to have a vital question of man's future and destiny determined by the shade of meaning that may be given to one word or more words, without reference to other declarations of the same book, having relation to the subject matter of the inquiry. The preacher said that in his conclusion as to the question he must be governed by the Bible alone, and had no right to indulge in speculation of the philosophies of other men, and that in the 462 Bible he could find nothing that would justify him in coming to any other conclusion than that the duration of punishment in hell is eternal. Well, he was not honest with himself, for if he had searched a little more deeply and had given as much credence to other parts of the Bible as to the passage that he quoted, he would have found a strong statement to the effect that the evil spirits in hell have the possibility of leaving it, and not only that but that a part of the great mission of Jesus, upon whose supposed declaration the preacher based his conclusion, was to show the way and induce these spirits of evil to leave their hells. This was the Master's first work after he became a spirit, and he would not have attempted to preach to these wicked spirits in hell, so wicked, according to the Bible, that God because of their great sins when mortals, punished them as he never punished any other of his children, for their disobedience, utterly destroying them as a race and his only living human creatures from the face of the earth, by one great catastrophe, leaving only Noah and his family as a reminder of the great failure of God in his creation, the most perfect and the very good. So I say, if the preacher had searched the Bible he would have found that the hell that contained the spirits of all the human race that was living at the time of the flood, except Noah and his family was not in its duration eternal. And again, had the preacher searched further he would have found that the Master himself, declared by necessary implication, that, at least, for some of the wicked who became inhabitants of hell, there was possibility of release, and certainty upon conditions. I refer to the declaration attributed to him where he said, "He that sinneth against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but he that sinneth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come." Matthew 12:32. Now, to any reasonable man there is only one interpretation of this declaration, and that is, that for any and all sins, except that against the Holy Ghost, there is forgiveness in the next world as well as in the mortal world, and that being a fact, it is an irresistible conclusion that the Father would not compel a spirit to remain in hell after he had forgiven that spirit's sins. No, the preacher had not searched the scriptures, as he was in duty bound to do, else his conclusion, could he have ridden his mind of the beliefs that the creeds of his church had driven into his intellect, and of the teachings of the ancient, the Paget Messages 1916, fathers, and of the churches that had taught such false and damnable doctrines for so many years, would have been very different. The preacher repudiated the old teachings that there would be physical suffering in hell, or fire or brimstone, etc., and expressed his commiseration for those preachers and others who had taught such doctrine, and for their awful responsibility and accounting, and his commiseration was needed and appropriate. But I'll want to say here that he needs as much, if not more, commiseration for the preaching of his false doctrines, as did those preachers to whom he refers. He has more light, or may have, and his accounting will be correspondingly greater. I have written a long letter, and you are tired and I must stop. But before doing so, let me declare the truth to be, that hell is not a place of eternal punishment. That all the hells as well as other parts of the spirit world are places of progression, and the privilege of probation is not taken from any spirit no matter how wicked, for all are God's children and in his plans for the perfecting of the harmony of the universe, and man's salvation, all the hells will be emptied and the hells themselves destroyed. But men must not think from this that the duration of suffering in these hells is necessarily short, for that is not true. Some of the evil inhabitants of these places have been in such darkness and suffering for centuries, as mortals count time, and maybe for centuries more, but the time will come when they will have the awakening to the fact that they may become children of light, and then when they make the effort to progress, they will succeed. The sooner that mankind learns that hell is not a place of punishment to satisfy the wrath of an angry God, but merely the natural and necessary living place of the spirit, whose condition of soul and mind demands, and that condition changes, and it will change, the hell of its habitation will change until finally for that spirit all the hells will disappear. You are tired and I must stop. So thanking you, and leaving you my love and blessings, I'm your brother in Christ, Paul. November 25, 1916. I am here, Goliath. I have been present for some time and have listened to your conversations on the various sects who are expecting a great teacher and others who look for a reincarnation. 463. And if it were not so serious to the welfare of mankind, it would be very humorous. But the matter is too serious to deal with in a humorous vein, and I will say a few words as to the utter falsity of both of these beliefs. There will appear no such great teacher as is expected. Of course, many may appear on earth claiming to be such a teacher, and they may declare some moral truth that may be beneficial to mankind, but these teachings will not be such as these people may expect a great teacher to make known, and the result will be that if the world had to depend on such teachings, it would be very little if any better than it now is, for there is only one course of truth, and in order for any great teacher to teach such truths, he necessarily will have to have a knowledge of such truths. And here I want to say that there is only one means of learning such truths, and that is through the help of Jesus the Christ and his followers, who know these truths, and the Holy Spirit that speaks to all men if they will open their souls to its silent voice of truth and love. So I say that these people who are expecting some earthly teacher to arise and come to them with a knowledge of truth will be greatly disappointed, for it is impossible that any man will ever come in some mysterious and godlike way be endowed with this knowledge. The souls of these people are longing for the truth, and not having a knowledge as to how it may come about, are willing to conjure up in their minds some being that may possibly burst on the world and enlighten them in those truths for which their souls are longing and wishing. No, they will never in all time and eternity learn what they so anxiously desire from any great teacher of the kind that I have named and they expect. As to the others who are equally misguided and who believe that their salvation or future condition of happiness and perfection depends on reincarnation, I must say that they are now, and will be, disappointed just as will the first class that I mention. This doctrine of reincarnation is a false and misleading one and will never enable any man or spirit to live the second time in the body as a mortal. It is so utterly absurd that it is astonishing that men can believe that such a thing can be, and besides, if they will only think seriously for a moment, they will realize that there is no necessity for man to live again on earth, for the surroundings and things that prevent the progress of man to perfection are so detrimental to his progress that it, the Paget Messages 1916, would not assist him one particle, in acquiring such progress, to have to undergo a second incarnation. When the spirit leaves the body, its possibility for progress then becomes greater than ever existed on earth, though some spirits for long ages do not take advantage of such possibilities, yet they exist, and earth life can afford no means equal to them for making this progress towards what these people call nirvana. Some day the truths will become so plain and easily understood by mortals that these beliefs will have their own weight, and I mean weight that absurdity gives them, that they will cease to exist. You may be somewhat surprised that I write on these subjects, but you must know that I am an angel of the celestial heavens and have a work to do, and being present, I requested the privilege of writing, and it being granted, I did so. I know what divine love means and what progress means, as I came from the lowest hells and found no necessity for reincarnation, and you may be assured that if my condition of suffering and darkness could have been gotten rid of by reincarnation, I would have reincarnated centuries before I was relieved of my awful condition. I have met spirits who said they believed in the doctrine, but strange to say, none of them had ever been able to reincarnate, though they persisted that they felt assured that other spirits had who were just in that condition that permitted it, and that they would when they became in a condition that was suitable. But I have noticed that these spirits never got in that suitable condition, but progressed in the spirit world and now say that they were mistaken and are thankful that there is no such thing as reincarnation. Well, the race will die and a new race will arise on earth, but in the new race there will not be any who have been reincarnated. I want to stop now, so thanking you, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Goliath, of whom men may think a mythical person, but who really lived and died, even though he may not have been killed by a slingshot of David, as the Bible relates, but yet a real living mortal who followed the ways of other mortals in sinning and dying and gone through hell and is at last redeemed. I am here, Helen. Well, dear, you have had a somewhat astonishing letter tonight. I mean astonishing when you come to consider the person who wrote it, but it is true, it was really Goliath who wrote. And I may say this because I have met him before, and besides, the higher spirits, and even some evil spirits, have told me that he is. Well, he made a very strong argument, and I hope that it may be very effective someday in convincing men of its truth. I could have written on the same subject based on the knowledge that I have, but I would have said, and what I should have said, would have been just as true in a few words. Thus, there will be no such great teacher as these people expect, and there is no such thing as reincarnation. Once a spirit, always a spirit. But I must not take the time to write on this matter. I am very glad that you are feeling better tonight, as it makes me able to get closer to you and more in rapport with your condition. I am very happy and want you to be, and I am praying for you and asking the Father to bless you with a greater inflowing of His love. Mary wants me to say a few words to the doctor for her. She says she is happy too and sees that the doctor is, and that she is progressing more and more, and that even her progress does not keep her from being with him quite often. She has asked me to let her write a long letter to the doctor, and I have promised, and very soon she will do so. She says she will go home with him tonight and stay with him until he goes to sleep, and will then try to take his spirit with her and give him a taste of the happiness of a sphere that he has never been in, and I will help her, and I believe that she will succeed, and tell him to prepare for the experiment. And if we succeed, we promise to bring him back to his body, which will be the only reincarnation that he will ever experience. So with our love to you both, I will say good night. God bless you both. Your own true and loving, Helen. November 30, 1916. I am here, Luke of the New Testament. Yes, I desire to write tonight a few lines upon a subject that has never yet been written on, and I know it will interest you. My subject is, What is the most important thing in all the world for men to do in order to bring about the great millennium that the preachers proclaim will come before or after the coming of Jesus?